Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just want to thank you for the incredible honor and opportunity of filling in for you again. Michael is off tonight on a much, much needed and deserved vacation, getting some much deserved R&R. Michael, my buddy, hope you refresh, recharge your batteries. America needs you, and I want to congratulate you on Trickle Down Tyranny, number two on the Wall Street Journal's bestseller list, recently on the New York Times number three bestseller list. It is skyrocketing up the charts. It is a must-read book, one of the most important books of our time, chronicling the growing tyranny, the growing corruption, and the growing destruction that Obama is wreaking upon this great land of ours. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, for the absolute latest must-read stories you cannot find anywhere else. And also to order a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. If you haven't bought it, go out and get it. It is a must-read, trust me. You will devour it within a couple of hours. It is Michael at his best, Michael, vintage Michael Savage. The issue of this segment, my friends, and in many ways it's the issue of the day, is the growing Hookergate scandal. It is now spreading throughout the administration. The latest now that we have found out is that apparently there is now a second hotel in Cartagena, Colombia, in which Secret Service agents brought hookers, prostitutes, call girls, whatever you want to call them, in for a night of some frolicking, some fun in the sun after hours in Colombia. This was the hotel that President Obama was to stay at. It was the Hotel Hilton. So now it wasn't just another important hotel that was holding many people from Obama's staff. This was the actual hotel that the president was going to be staying at. It is now spreading. Now the question in the press corps is this. Were members of the White House staff, because remember, when the president makes a major trip overseas, the Secret Service have to go ahead of time. They have to lay the groundwork for security. They have to form a security perimeter. They have to make sure the building is clear. It's safe. This takes a couple days to do that. But White House staff are also brought on board. They're also given jobs to help Secret Service provide advanced clearance and advanced groundwork for the president. Did people in Obama's inner circle, did people on the White House staff who were there with the Secret Service, with the military personnel, it is now up to at least 12 Secret Service agents, 10 members of the military who have now been implicated in this prostitute scandal. Were they involved as well? Were people close? Were the president's men? Were the people close to the president involved? And apparently Jay Carney today, the White House flack, the White House press secretary, the Goebbels of the administration, came out and said, no, We did an internal investigation by our own lawyer. Our own lawyer. And nothing here. Nothing to see here. Our White House staff, everything was fine. Nobody went out with hookers. Nobody went out partying and drinking and snorting cocaine. Nobody went out and $47 or $50 or $200 exchanged hands with prostitutes. Nothing like that. It's all kosher. My friends, this scandal is starting to reach all the way up into the White House. And yet, as we see this growing scandal and corruption afflict not only the Secret Service, but maybe potentially the White House staff itself, what are politicians on Capitol Hill doing? In particular, what are the feminists doing from both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party? You guessed it. As Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. And so now, as the Secret Service as an institution is being called into question, its reputation damaged and smeared, yesterday, Senator Susan Collins, the most liberal member of the Republican Party in the Senate, a rhino if there ever was one, came out and suggested, you know what? There's been a Secret Service agent by the name of Paula Reed who has now gone in. She's trying to clean things up. She's trying to get to the bottom of this investigation. And you know what? Had there been more female Secret Service agents in that advance trip, maybe none of this would have happened. We need more women in the Secret Service. Boys, roll the clip.
I think it's appropriate that we have female legislators here today because we just learned this morning that the agent who swept in and cleaned this all up, female agent Paula Reed, head of the service detail down in Latin America, and she seemed to get to the bottom of this quickly.
She did. She acted decisively, appropriately, and I can't help but wonder if there had been more women as part of that detail, if this ever would have happened.
Did you see how George Stephanopoulos, that Democratic hack who worked for Clinton, see how he threw her that softball? Just basically almost led her right to the pond. Almost led her right there. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, Susan Collins drank. Oh, did she drink? So if we had more women Secret Service members, none of this would have happened. No. And then Stephanopoulos then calls in the big guns. He brings in New York Senator Carolyn Baloney Maloney. Comes right on in. Here's Baloney. Come on in and saying, you know what? There's only 11% of the female of the agents in the Secret Service are women or females. You know, if we had more women, none of this would have happened. We need to diversify. Boys, roll clip two.
I would like to say I talked to Director Sullivan last night, and he was commending her leadership, too. She really went in there and cleaned up the mess. And one thing I asked him is how many women are on the force? It's only 11% of the agents are women. And if they, we agree on this, if there were more agents on the ground, maybe we would not have had this. And I can't help but keep asking this question, where are the women? We probably need to diversify the Secret Service and have more minorities and more women.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. First of all, where did the minorities come into this? I can't wrap my... So you mean to tell me if there were more Latinos and African Americans that somehow they wouldn't go to a bar and get sloshed and bring back prostitutes? That apparently, what, only white people do this? Is that what Baloney Maloney is trying to insinuate? But more than that, let's get to the heart of the matter. You mean to tell me now, after they've tried to put women in combat, try to put women in fighting combat roles, that now all of a sudden they have to use this scandal to try to bring in even more women into the Secret Service? Is this what the feminists now? Is any institution sacrosanct to these people? Where it's no longer based on who's best for the job? It's no longer best person for the job, best merits for the job? Now we have to start doing some more bean counting? How many minorities? How many women? Only 11%? Well, they're over 50% of the population. They're underrepresented. We need to have more women. But let's get to the heart of the matter. Why would we think that women would make better Secret Service agents? Why would we think that just because you have more women on a detail, that somehow Secret Service agents wouldn't go out to bars, get drunk, solicit prostitutes, and bring them back to their hotel rooms? Because as we've seen in the military, when you start bringing in men and women together in a lot of these pressure situations, which requires security, which requires fighting, which requires potentially using violence, what do you think happens? There's a lot more sexual intercourse. This is what's been happening in the military. No, they're not soliciting maybe prostitutes like before, but there's a lot more sexual activity going on within the ranks. That's one of the big problems the military is facing. Many combat females are coming back pregnant. And so you think to tell me that if you start loading up the Secret Service with women, you're not going to start seeing a lot of hanky-panky on these overseas trips? So when they go to some bar getting sloshed, no, they're not going to solicit the prostitutes. They're going to solicit their colleagues. Everybody's belting back a couple whiskeys saying, hey, you know what? You're attractive. No, you're attractive. Hey, let's finish this in the hotel room back home. That's what you're going to start to see happen. And more than that, look, my wife is a career woman. My wife is a hardworking professional. Believe me, no one has fought more for women's rights in the workplace than Jeff Kooner. But there are fundamental biological, physical differences between the genders. There just are, between men and women. Generally, women are physically weaker. Generally, women don't have, should I say, the testosterone quality, many of them, because they have a nurturing, mothering instinct, which is beautiful. And I think one of the most beautiful sacred instincts in society, but they have a mothering instinct which compels them to protect, to coddle, to nurture. I don't see many women wanting to take a bullet for the president of the United States. I just don't see that. So we're going to destroy another institution on behalf of social engineering and on behalf of feminism. And my question to you is a simple one. Should there be more women in the Secret Service? Had there been more female agents in Colombia, do you think we not have had the crisis and the scandal that we are currently having? Would there have been no Hookergate? Had there been more female Secret Service agents? What do you say? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Here is Senator Caroline Maloney saying she spoke with Secret Service Director Mark Sullivan. And you know what? We need more women in the Secret Service. Boys, roll it.
I would like to say I talked to Director Sullivan last night, and he was commending her leadership, too. She really went in there and cleaned up the mess. And one thing I asked him is, how many women are on the force? It's only 11% of the agents are women. And if we agree on this, if there were more agents on the ground, maybe we would not have had this. And I can't help but keep asking this question, where are the women? We probably need to diversify the Secret Service and have more minorities and more women.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So now let's use this scandal to bring in women into areas that, frankly, will undermine unit cohesion, discipline, the effectiveness of our fighting men and women abroad. And I include the Secret Service because they have to put their lives on the line every day to protect the president of the United States. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I think women are magnificent doctors. They're magnificent engineers. They're magnificent lawyers. They can work in almost every aspect of the workforce as effectively, if not even better in some instances, than men. But there are real biological, physical differences. There just are. And so do you think they're exploiting this for social engineering purposes to advance their liberal agenda? I want to hear from you. Terry in Wisconsin, you're on the Savage Nation.
Jeff Kuhner, this is just projection and deflection. You have to understand that this is all taking your eyes off of what's really happening, which is the Obama administration is a bunch of party animals. You know, Hillary Clinton was down in Columbia having a good old time. Maybe she found something that appealed to her, and now she wants other women to join her. I don't know, but this seems to be a little hokey, if you know what I mean. This
is Terry, listen, absolutely brilliant point. Look at Hillary Clinton. She's up partying till 2 in the morning, belting back Coronas, having beers, dancing in a nightclub till 2 o'clock at night with her friends, partying it up. What? You don't think there'd be scandals if there were if they're all women Secret Service agents? What, women aren't immune to partying? Women aren't immune to going after men? Women aren't immune to bringing men back into the hotel room? This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So here they are again, and you're right. You're completely right, Terry. Corruption is now seeping throughout this administration. You see it at the GSA. You see it with the stimulus. You see it with Hookergate. You're seeing it in one scandal and boondoggle after another. And I'll tell you what. I think these Secret Service agents, they looked at Obama and Michelle, and they saw all the vacations, and they saw the trips to Hawaii and the trips to the French Riviera, and the trips to Martha's Vineyard, and the golf outings, and the parties, and the shrimp cocktails, and all the big evenings and soirees at the White House with Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney. And they said, you know what? If the president and the first lady and everybody else in this administration can go out and party it up like there's no tomorrow, we're going to get our take of the action. That's the real story here. Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. There is now a big push on Capitol Hill to have more female agents in the Secret Service. Do you think if there were more women agents, the Columbia prostitute scandal would not have happened? What say you? BJ in New York, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Jeff. Always a pleasure to have you fill in for the great Dr. Savage. This
Thank
notion
you, BJ.
That put forth this feminist communist notion that we need that women are more moral and somehow they'll be better Secret Service agents than men is ridiculousness. And, you know, quite frankly, I ask myself in the midst of this, would this happen under George Bush? And the answer is no. Will this happen under Mitt Romney? And the answer is no. These types of embarrassing scandals. But this notion that we need more women now because of this this really embarrassing black eye that we now have is really foolishness. And, you called them on it. Thank you so much for bringing this out.
My pleasure, DJ, and I want to thank you for that call. No, look, what they're doing is they're politicizing this. It's a desperate attempt to advance their liberal feminist agenda. They do this time and time and time again. Now, just stand back for a second, because you touched on something. Would this have occurred under George W. Bush? Would this or will this occur under a potential Romney administration? And the answer is no. Not that Secret Service agents won't break the rules. Not that Secret Service agents won't go out partying or bring back prostitutes. That's human nature. People are stupid and they behave immorally. But there is a culture of accountability. How come heads haven't rolled? Why is Obama not going out there and demanding that these Secret Service agents be fired, that the director of the Secret Service, Mark Sullivan, that he be fired, and that there be a zero tolerance policy under his administration for this kind of corruption. This is not the first breach. There have been other breaches in the Secret Service over the last couple of years. So, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. Friends, we're talking about $823,000 of taxpayer money going to one conference in Las Vegas by the General Services Administration. This guy, Jeff Neely. $823,000. $1,000 champagne bottles. Partying till 4 in the morning. Hot tub suites. Lobsters. Porterhouse steaks. This is all under the taxpayer's dime. I could go on and on. Solyndra. The auto bailouts. You name it. It's been one boondoggle after another. Money being misspent and misappropriated. Some of it embezzled. And nobody, there's no accountability. And now they want to tell us that we need more women agents? As if what? Women weren't born with original sin? What feminism has tried to do in the last 30 years is this. And this is why it's radical. Fundamentally radical. It is trying to teach and promote the destructive, ludicrous idea that men and women are the same. That they're literally interchangeable. That's why there's a push for the gay rights movement, for gay marriage. It doesn't matter if you're raised by two women or two men or two women and one man, whatever. It doesn't matter because there are no fundamental gender differences. But there are psychologically, emotionally, physically. Yes, in terms of physical strength. I had an army buddy. And he told me, we do basic training, and now they have a lot of women. They're incorporating more and more women. We do 3 days in the hills. 3 days. Many women are psychologically and physically broken. Many of the men aren't. Now, I ask you, what is the role of our military? To fight and win wars. What is the duty of our Secret Service? To protect the President of the United States. They're not there as experiments for feminism. Or social liberal social engineering. We're destroying one institution after another. Do you think we should have more women in the Secret Service? 1-800-449-8255. Fred, Modesto, California. You're on the Savage Nation.
Jeff, thanks for covering for Michael Savage. You're one of the best.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. I'm law enforcement for about 3 decades. Retired now. I could write a book on the subject about men and women. When the testosterone gets thrown around during an incident or some sort of critical situation, women, in my experience, have cowered down and let the men go, and all of a sudden they're just kind of there. Not in all cases, but the problem is that with the touchy-feely world that we have now, they're hiring smaller people. Smaller women, and what kind of actions do we have with the terrorists, per se? I mean, these guys are full-out psychotic. Anybody who wants to kill the president, they're going to go for it. And if the training comes through, and I don't care who gets hired on, blacks, whites, Asians, if you can do the job, women, if you can do the job, I've worked with some great women that can handle themselves. But I've had many, many women cower down, lock themselves away, do whatever to get out of the situation. And these were trained professionals that had some years under them.
Fred, I've heard this, and I want to thank you for that call, because I've heard this from many people in the Pentagon, in the Defense Department, some people in the Secret Service, and a lot of people in our military. Look, there are some fantastic women fighter pilots. There are some fantastic women who serve in the military. But when you're talking about many of these combat roles, which requires an immense amount of psychological toughness and physical strength, brute physical strength, most women are just not up to the job because they're small, their frames, their bodies, they're made of estrogen. They're not made of testosterone. Testosterone builds muscle. It enhances aggressiveness. That's the very nature of testosterone. It's frankly why these cage fighters... football players, all these athletes, many what they call performance-enhancing drugs, it's just testosterone. It's just patches and patches of testosterone. to build up their testosterone levels. That's what this is. So when people tell me that women can do the same as men in any job, you don't know what you're talking about. And let me just prove it to you. And let me ask you this. It's late at night. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. You're heading back into your car. And now you have been mugged by two huge men, 6'4", 250 pounds. And they are starting to really beat you down good. But there's a cop. And that cop pulls up. And it's a woman. Or do you feel safe? Do you feel she can protect you from these two men? Let's say it's a cop with two female officers. Or do you feel safer with two male officers? When you see two male officers, don't you think, oh, they'll get these two guys off of me? It's just human nature. Of course I'd rather have two male officers than two female officers on the whole. I mean, it's just common sense because they're physically stronger. They can get these two big, tough guys off of me and stop them from killing me potentially. Let's go to Susan in San Antonio. Thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. I was just listening to the conversation about women in the military and women with the Secret Service. And I've been in the military 21 years, and I agree with you that I don't have the stature that some of my male colleagues have. I certainly don't belong in the Navy SEALs, and I don't belong with the Green Berets. But I think, if you think strategically, women do have a place in the military. There are lots of jobs that we do to support our military. I think we could support the Secret Service. I think a woman on those teams with the Secret Service absolutely would have minimized the inappropriateness that we saw on television in those situations. Because, when I go out with my male friends, my male colleagues, they don't behave like that around me. And I know that the hookers overseas don't necessarily approach us as a group when I'm with them. So I think there are...
Oh, that's an interesting point. You're saying that if there were a couple of women with those Secret Service agents, a couple of female agents with that larger crowd of male Secret Service agents at that bar in Colombia, that maybe the hookers wouldn't even have bothered because there's a couple of women there. Is that it?
That's it. Because, it's been my experience in Vietnam and Hong Kong that, when I go out with my male friends, the hookers seem to stay away when I'm with them. And when I'm not with them, that's when they are approached. But I also when I go out with my friends and we drink and everything, we look out for each other. We make sure that everybody gets back safe, and it's a team thing. So I think that women can have a cohesive, supportive effect.
Let me ask you this, Susan, because this is the other side that I've heard. A lot of people in the military are now telling me there's a lot of increased sexual activity going on a lot of these bases, even in Afghanistan, in Iraq, because you have so many men and so many women now serving together. And so let's say you have a party of 15 agents, and there's 8, 9, 10 male agents, but 4 or 5 female agents. And let's be candid, you got to be in fantastic shape to be a Secret Service agent. So they're working out. I mean, these are attractive women. I mean, potentially. I mean, they're working out. They're taking care of themselves. You're away from your spouses. You're away from your families. Everybody goes out for a drink. Everybody's under pressure. And before you know it, there's a lot of hanky-panky going on.
I think that happens with some people. And, there are character flaws in all kinds of professions. But I think that when you look at the whole, there are some really honest, honorable people that serve in the military and that serve with the Secret Service who, under those circumstances, wouldn't do anything, who would do the right thing, who know that their job comes first, the security of the president comes first, their mission comes first, and there are, thousands of military officers and enlisted personnel who have gone overseas and who have done the right thing. The problem is we seem to concentrate on the few who don't. And I know right now that rape and sexual assault is an issue. It's on the front pages. It's in the New York Times. And my heart goes out to those soldiers and sailors and Marines, those females and those males who are assaulted.
Well, and Susan, look, you make an excellent point. And it's not just the New York Times. I get emails from people in the Pentagon saying that sexual assaults have skyrocketed over the last couple of years. Rapes have skyrocketed over a couple of years. Generally, look, here's my view. I think women should be in many roles in the military. Frankly, I think some of them, many of them are better than men at many tasks. Let me just tell you this right now. As a journalist in the newsroom, I have found on the whole, oh, look, it's always dangerous when you paint with a broad brush. On the whole, I find female reporters, female editorial writers better than men. They work better under deadline. Their prose is much better. Their copy is much cleaner. Many of them are very hard-hitting investigative journalists. Frankly, some of them are absolutely fearless. When it comes to these sorts of roles, analysts, planners, some of these other roles in the military, I think women do a phenomenal job. I'm telling you, if I'm in a foxhole and they're raining shells on me and we have to go out for a late nighttime raid, I would rather be surrounded by men than by women because of the nature of physical strength and physical endurance. Now, there are 10, 11% already in the Secret Service. Look, there's a couple of female cops. I'm going to be very candid with you. A couple of them I grew up with, they became female cops. These are big, tough. I'm serving with one of them. But on the whole, I mean, I live near Annapolis in Maryland. There are many female cadets. I'm looking around. I mean, they're 5'2", 5'3", barely 80 pounds. I mean, I'm like, this is a military? I mean, it's sad. I'm thinking like, they can't be Navy SEALs. They can't be in part of the elite units. They're just too physically small. So to me, there are certain roles that are better fulfilled by men and other roles that are better fulfilled by women. It's called human nature. And I think we should recognize that. But that's just me. Jeff Kooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back after this break. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Should we have more female agents in the Secret Service? Had there been more women agents in Colombia, would that scandal even have happened? Senator Susan Collins, Senator Caroline Maloney say we need to have more women. I want to know what you think. Carrie in Maryland, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I do not think we should have more women in the Secret Service or more women in combat situations. My husband spent 20 years in the military, and fraternization was a huge problem. Women getting pregnant and not being able to perform their duties was a huge problem. And it's just not fair to the guys, you know, who are down a person, you know, because this girl decides, oh, well, I don't want to go out to sea. I think I'll just get pregnant. You talked about it.
Carrie, I hear that from people, veterans, spouses of veterans, family members of veterans all the time. They resent mixing men and women in combat roles. They think it leads to unfairness. They think it leads to a breakdown of discipline, a breakdown of unit cohesion. And I'm inclined to agree with them. Carrie, look, I'll tell you right now. Look, just stand back for a second. This is so common. This happens all the time. You have attractive women fighting side by side with you. What happens if one of your superior officers ends up having an affair with her? And then you're supposed to go out, let's say, on a night raid, but he's now having an affair. He's now morally compromised because he doesn't want his lover to get killed. So maybe he leaves the lover behind, or he has her serve in a more backup or secondary role, which is much less dangerous. This sorts of stuff happens all the time in the military. All the time.
And not
that's
only
why,
that, I mean,
go,
look,
Carrie.
At the discontent it creates among the wives that stay behind, you know, and sacrifice as well. You know, and it's hard enough to be a stay-at-home military wife and have their spouse be absent, but then have these women on the ship, it just creates so much hate and discontent. And it's hard enough. I mean, the divorce rate is high enough in the military, And that just makes it, you know, even worse. Now, I, you know, as far as Susan goes, the last caller, I respect her so much for joining the military, for serving for her country, but in combat situations, this is my main point, and things like the Secret Service, I do not agree with that.
I agree with you, Carrie. Thanks for that call. Quickly, Mimi in Albany, New York, you're on the Savage Nation. Go.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for taking my call. Just two things. One is that men are bigger and stronger than women is not an opinion, and it's not political. It's a physiological fact. And secondly, this whole thing with Secret Service agents, it's not about race and it's not about gender. It's supposed to be about character. And unfortunately, the Obama administration focuses quite a bit on the former and doesn't know a whole lot about the latter. And I think that's our problem.
Bingo. Bingo. That's what this is about. And this is about character and the lack of, and it comes straight from the top man himself. When you have a president of the United States who openly says he's going to Cartagena, Colombia, at that summit, scouting the place so his wife can take another vacation there in the future, what does that tell you about this president? When you have a president who apologizes to our enemies abroad, who bows to the Prince of Saudi Arabia, who bows to the Emperor of Japan, who bows to the President of Beijing, how do you think some military person sitting in a foxhole or even a Secret Service agent, what do you think they're thinking when they see that? Hey, you know what? It's so bad. This guy's such a disaster. Maybe I should get drunk and hook up with a Colombian prostitute. This is Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Michael is off tonight on a much-deserved vacation. Michael, my buddy, thank you once again for allowing me to fill in for you tonight. It's been an absolutely superb show. You have clearly one of the greatest shows in the country. I can't tell you what an honor and opportunity it is for me. Go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, for the absolute latest breaking stories you cannot find anywhere else. And in particular, if you have not bought a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, please do so. One of Michael's best books, number two on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. It is climbing up the charts at a rocketing pace. If you haven't bought a copy, go out and get it. It is an absolutely superb read. We have been talking about gender relations in America. And now in the wake of Hookergate, in the wake of this Colombian sex scandal that has engulfed the Secret Service and may even engulf members of the White House staff, there is now a growing pitch, a growing drive on Capitol Hill to use this scandal to smash the Secret Service as we've known it and to now bring in many more women, female agents. They want to feminize the Secret Service. They want to do to the Secret Service what they have done to the military, which is to bring about more gender integration, bring women in more as they've done in the military. Women in combat, women on the front lines, women in the Green Berets, women in the Navy SEALs, women doing a lot of the hand-to-hand combat that men have done for thousands and thousands of years. And now they want more women to put their bodies on the line and take a bullet for the president. And the argument that's being made by the likes of Senator Susan Collins, Maine Republican, and Senator Caroline Baloney Maloney, New York Democrat, is that had women been more female agents, had there been more women in Colombia, none of this would have happened. They wouldn't have gone to the bars getting drunk. They wouldn't have been pursued by the strippers and call girls and prostitutes. They wouldn't have been solicited. They wouldn't have brought them back to the hotels. They wouldn't have had sex with them. And certainly, had they in the morning, they would have paid them. They certainly would have been haggling with them in the hallway and leading to this major disgrace and this major scandal. And so now the conclusion is, among many feminist senators on Capitol Hill, is now it is time for the Secret Service to bring in a lot more women. Here is Senator Susan Collins, in her own words, saying, you know what, George Stephanopoulos, I think you're right. I think it's time to bring in more women, more female agents, because had there been more female agents, none of this would have happened. Boys, roll clip one.
I think it's appropriate that we have female legislators here today because we just learned this morning that the agent who swept in and cleaned this all up, female agent Paula Reed, head of the service detail down in Latin America, and she seemed to get to the bottom this quickly.
She did. She acted decisively, appropriately. And I can't help but wonder if there had been more women as part of that detail, if this ever would have happened.
Really? You really think, Senator Collins, that none of this would have happened? First of all, you notice how she says this agent Paula Reed acted decisively and swiftly. Like what, male agents don't act swiftly and decisively, Senator Collins? That doesn't happen? And notice the argument which has been made by feminists for the last 30 to 40 years. They keep making it over and over again, which is if you feminize an institution, if you feminize a country, then there won't be any violence. There won't be any war. You know, you've heard this feminist mantra over and over and over again, that if you have female leaders, that there would be peace in the world. That all you have to do is have women run societies and run countries, and there would never be any violence. Really? Really? How do you explain the fact that, for example, some of the most bloodthirsty people in the world have been women? Mao Zedong's wife told Mao he didn't kill enough. 60 million wasn't enough. Lenin's wife told Lenin he needed to kill more. He didn't kill enough of his opponents. Every society has had bloodthirsty men and bloodthirsty women. The notion that somehow women are somehow more benign, more virtuous, more peace-loving than men is completely false. It's an absolute lie. And the bigger issue is this. We have now had an experiment in America for at least 10 years of truly trying to integrate the armed services, the military. And I'd like to ask in particular some of the male veterans out there, what was your experience like with women in combat? What was your experience like with women in your units? Did you feel uncomfortable? Did it lead to a breakdown in unit cohesion and morale? Was there a lot of fraternization going on? Was there a lot of clandestine sexual activity going on? Did you often feel that the military has been lowering its standards, its physical standards, its endurance standards, its toughness standards, in order to promote women in the military ranks? Is it just a chauvinism that's been pushing men to have only other men in military roles? Or is it because it's rooted in experience, in history, and in human nature? 1-800-449-8255. Are there fundamental differences between men and women that we in modern liberal America are no more willing to recognize? And is this now a symptom, this drive for more female agents, of liberalism now destroying another institution, the Secret Service? I want to take your calls, 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Myra in Florida. Thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. I wanted to just remind everyone out there, especially the feminists on Capitol Hill, about that Lindsey England disgrace with the Abu Ghraib prisoners in Iraq. She was a woman, and she was in a power position as a specialist, and her behavior was absolutely disgusting. I mean, you can just Google her, Lindsey England, and you will see that what these feminists on Capitol Hill are trying to sell us on is a big lie. You know, these women out there, like you're saying, when they're out there in those situations, they're not going to behave. There's no guarantee they're going to behave. And there's no guarantee that they would have changed the results of whatever happened in Cartagena, Colombia. So that's all.
No,
I have.
You're right. No, Myra, look, you're completely right. Look, the problem with the Secret Service, frankly, is not that there aren't enough women or there should be more women. The problem with the Secret Service is they're not respecting their jobs and they're not respecting their offices. They're not conducting themselves in a professional manner. And I believe this stems from the top. I believe there's a culture of corruption, a culture of arrogance, and a culture of anti-Americanism that is sweeping throughout the entire government. And that's what you saw displayed in Cartagena, Colombia. Clearly, that's what you saw. So the issue is not more women. But notice this. I want to replay this clip because this to me is very telling. Notice it's not even a feminist agenda. It's also an affirmative action agenda. It's not only just that the Secret Service has to have more women. Suddenly, out of the blue, they throw in minorities. Here is Senator Caroline Maloney yesterday on yesterday with ABC with George Stephanopoulos. Okay, this week with George Stephanopoulos. Listen to her almost as a throwaway line, almost like she's throwing it away. Not just women, but you need more minorities in the Secret Service. Boys, roll clip two.
I would like to say I talked to Director Sullivan last night, and he was commending her leadership, too. She really went in there and cleaned up the mess. And one thing I asked him is, how many women are on the force? It's only 11% of the agents are women. And if we agree on this, if there were more agents on the ground, maybe we would not have had this. And I can't help but keep asking this question, where are the women? We probably need to diversify the Secret Service and have more minorities and more women.
Where do the minorities come in? This to me is, I mean, first of all, there are plenty of minorities in the Secret Service because the Secret Service, like the U.S. military, is one of the most colorblind institutions in America. And the reason being for that is because, my friends, when you're protecting the President of the United States, you want the best available person for the job. You're not in the, you can't afford to be into racial quotas and racial bean counting. So you want the biggest, toughest, strongest, bravest people you can find possible. So there's no problem with minorities in the Secret Service. But notice how she just throws it in there. What? So let me get this straight. If there were more African Americans and Latinos, then all of a sudden what? They don't frequent bars? They don't drink? They don't solicit prostitutes? They don't have hanky-panky with Colombian escorts? What is somehow what? They're immune to vice? They're immune to original sin? Is this something new now that liberals are inventing? So this to me is, you can see the propaganda. You can see the radical ideologues now kicking in. And now everybody's jumping on the bandwagon now. Now we're going to completely dismantle the Secret Service. We're going to lower all standards. No, now. Now we have to play exactly the racial. They won't be hitting Colombian prostitutes. I guarantee you that. Female prostitutes. Males, maybe. But female prostitution, I've just solved your problem. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Kevin in Waco, Texas, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm good. How are you, Kevin?
All right. Hey, I've never called into a talk show before, but I felt like I was qualified to make some comments as I served 9 years in the Navy on several ships. Three ships, two of them were mixed crews, male, female. And also, a side note, I didn't tell your call taker, but I also work for the federal government as a 1811 series criminal investigator. Not for the Secret Service, and I'd really rather not divulge which agency I work for, but I can give you some insight there, too. Talking about the Navy and the mixed female crews, you know, there's a lot of problems that the average soldier or sailor experiences at sea. You know, and one of them I noticed in the Navy is every Navy crew member is also a firefighter. And it's just a matter of fact that a 100-pound woman is not going to be able to drag a 250-pound male like myself out of a smoke or a fire situation.
And Kevin, let me ask you this, because I've heard that complaint as well from a lot of people, from midshipmen and others. I mean, do you guys resent it? Do you resent it that you potentially could have your lives threatened or your lives are on the line and you're surrounded by potential colleagues who can't pull you or pull you out or rescue you because they're just physically too weak?
I absolutely resent it. I love women. I have a wonderful wife and three daughters. I love women, but I do want women who want to serve in our armed forces to have the opportunity to serve, but they must meet the physical standards. And it, whether it's in the federal government or in the military, the physical standards are lowered and reduced for women.
And now, did you notice, was there, well, I don't want you to divulge anything that would be embarrassing or anything, but did you witness a lot of hanky-panky? Was there a lot of, let's put it this way, fraternization going on between male members and female members?
Oh, absolutely. The statute of limitations has passed for me, so I'm not worried about talking about it. But absolutely. Every one of my ships, I had a girlfriend. And you better believe we were doing some hanky-panky at sea as well and having colleagues and other crew members.
Were you married at the time when you were having these girlfriends?
No, I was not.
Oh, okay. Were a lot of men, were they married and they were having this kind of hanky-panky?
Absolutely. And a lot of marriages were destroyed from it.
And I mean, and what, girlfriends on separate ships? I mean, like what, one on each ship, or?
No, one of the ships I served on had a mixed crew, about 60-40 to 70-30 male to female ratio, and everybody that had the opportunity. When you're at sea for 6 months, you've got human physical needs, and it's almost—I want to say it's natural, and it's unethical, of course, if you're married, but it happens amongst the enlisted crew and the officers. I saw it all the time.
Do you think the Navy would be better served if they weren't, if you didn't have this kind of mixed, if you didn't have these mixed crews, if it was all male?
Absolutely. In the Navy submarine force, there is no such thing as a mixed crew. And those gentlemen absolutely just take care of business without any of the distractions of having the other sex around.
Kevin, thank you so much for that call, my friend. You have no idea how illuminating it's been. To all of you out there, do you think integrating the genders has been a disaster in the military? Do we want to do that to the Secret Service? 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Are men and women different in their abilities? Should they have the same tests, physical tests, the way men do in the military? or do you think they have been lowering standards to have more women in the military and more women in the Secret Service, as is now being demanded by Susan Collins and Senator Caroline Maloney from New York? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. Tom in Maryland, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Good evening. How are you?
Thanks. I'm good. How are you, Tom?
And I want to follow up to what the last gentleman said. I, too, am kind of qualified to talk on this. I got to watch what I say here because my spouse is a Naval Academy graduate and actually works in the Navy. And although she's not in the ship position, nor would I want her to be, being a female, but I also work public service. And I'm here to tell you, without listing the agency, that when I came through, males had to do regular standard push-ups and standard pull-ups, but females were allowed to do push-ups on their knees and pull-ups on some type of pulley system that had like a table that made the pull-ups a little bit easier. So my problem isn't with women. It's the fact that standards shouldn't be lowered, especially in the public service of the military industry, because, quite frankly, I don't care if somebody's purple and they have, you know, three or four breasts, they should be the ones that are coming to save us if, in fact, they are the most qualified, regardless of color, regardless of gender. If you can meet the same minimum standard, like that last fellow was talking about, you know, being able to pull somebody out of a house fire. I mean, you write for the Washington Times. It wasn't all that long ago that, you know, D.C. Fire Department was dealing with a similar issue from a religion issue where people didn't want to shave their beards. But, you know, if you can't get a tight seal on your mask to enter the building, you won't be able to get as far into the building to save your fellow coworker and pull them out of the fire if, in fact, you know, God forbid, you know, somebody goes down on a house fire.
Tom, absolutely excellent points. Let me ask you this because I don't want you to divulge anything that would get you in trouble. You're saying that you know for a fact that there were different standards and different physical tests applied to male and female members in which men had to do full push-ups while women, for example, had to go on their knees. And so, in other words, what you're saying is this. Was this deliberate to help women pass these supposed physical tests to get them in? Is that what the program was?
And even within the military, I mean, I know for a fact that there's different standards from a standpoint of, you know, depending on your age, and depending on your gender, how many sit-ups you have to do in a minute, how many push-ups, your mile and a half time, and so on and so on. And, you know, again, I don't know where you draw the line in terms of an age situation or whatever. Obviously, a 40-year-old isn't going to be able to, you know, pull their weight maybe as much as a 25-year-old, regardless of gender. But it's just, you know, just that's my two cents. And, you know, just wanted to...
Tom, no, thank you for sharing it, and thank you for that call. No, look, this is the point that, frankly, he made that I was just talking about with the producers off the air during the break. A friend told me, just the other day, friend told me, look, he goes, you know, I had a mother, 70, 80, 90 pounds. You look at her, you think physically she's nothing. But I'm telling you, when it came to my brothers, who are big, beefy guys, she could pull them anywhere. She could drag them anywhere. She could kick him around. She could discipline him. In other words, it's not even so much physical stature. It's, I think, what this guy Tom nailed, which is you have to have one consistent standard test for everybody, a basic physical minimum test, push-ups, weights, sit-ups, running a mile, whatever it is, certain times. And if you pass those basic physical tests, well, then you're ready to be, whether it be in the Navy or in the Army or in the Marines or in the Secret Service or pick whatever branch you want. This, to me, would make sense. But what you've seen happen under the weight of multiculturalism, under the weight of feminism, under the weight of liberalism, is you are seeing now different standards being applied to different groups. And it's not just in the military and it's not just the Secret Service. Look at university admissions. Different groups are admitted with lower test scores because they just want to attract those groups, African-Americans, Hispanics. It's whites and Asians who have been disproportionately suffering. And so my question to you is this. Is this good for America? Does this not weaken our fighting force? Listening to this guy, Tom, and listening to members of the military, now you know why most wars are fought with men between the ages of 18 and 30. You want them young. You want them strong. You want them tough. You want them brave. You want them hungry. I'll tell you this. Russia doesn't have women in the military. China doesn't have women in the military. Iran doesn't have women in the military. North Korea doesn't have women in the military. You think the Taliban, who are on the verge of winning a big, a decisive victory against our troops, you think they have women in the military? You think they go? They have maybe female suicide bombers, but they're not in the caves and mountains waging guerrilla warfare. So my question to you is this. Are we not sacrificing the national interests of the United States to serve a political, liberal, feminist, radical agenda? 1-800-449-8255. Michelle in New York, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I don't think that the test should be different. It should be the same for men and for women.
Michelle, let me ask you this, because this is what I don't understand. Like, not to put my own company in the spotlight or my newspaper in the spotlight, but basically you have a basic editing test, at least when I first came on board 12 years ago. Every man, every woman, every applicant, every potential employee had to do a substantial, grueling editing test. If you pass that test, you get the job. You don't pass the test, you don't get the job. I can tell you this with absolute certainty. When everybody's writing under deadline, man, woman, it doesn't matter. You got to deliver. And if you don't meet your deadline and you don't file good copy, you don't file good columns or editorials, you're out the door. So there's a basic test, a basic standard for everybody. And frankly, and I'm not just saying this to score points, women do better than men. They're better writers. They're better analysts. They have a better analytical mind. Look, there are many positions in the military, information technology, working computers. There are many positions and roles in the military I could see women excelling and being better than men. But why is it when it comes to women in combat or women in the Secret Service, when it comes to like physical tests, why is there this need in our society to lower the standards for women as compared to men? Why is that?
Because there are some women politically that get on this bandwagon that think, just like today, they made the statement that this wouldn't have happened with the Secret Service if there were more women in the Secret Service. That's ridiculous. That's not the point. The point is this was across-the-board bad behavior. This doesn't have anything to do with the fact that women, less women are in the Secret Service. There is a standard physically and a test that you have to go through to be in the Secret Service. And if you don't pass, you're not in. I mean, it is a test beyond description to guard the president. If you don't pass, you're not in. And that's the way it should be. And that's why this country gets itself in trouble, because we want to change the rules politically. And it
Bingo.
Doesn't work. It is
exactly. You nailed it. It's at war with reality. It's at war with human nature. And it's at war with what's in the best interests of the United States. And I'm going to get to the phone lines again in just a second, but I want to relay this very small story that I, a personal experience that I had, a small story. I remember, I'll never forget this, one of the proudest days of my life was my mother came to visit me. And of course, I was working at the Washington Times. I was covering Capitol Hill. I was covering the White House, and my mother always wanted to see Capitol Hill. She just couldn't believe that her son was working in the modern-day Rome of the Roman Empire, the greatest, most powerful city in the world today, the epicenter of America, the capital of America. And so I came, I brought her to the White House, and I even gave her a bit of a tour, I had some access, we showed her the White House. And then I took her to Capitol Hill, and she couldn't believe the steps. She couldn't believe the Roman Greco architecture. She couldn't believe how vast it was, how beautiful it was, how clean it was, how well kept it was, the cradle of American democracy. And then we noticed all of these Secret Service agents at the front in their cars or walking around. And my mother was stunned at how fit all of these men were.
She was like, my God, look at how these people have to work out and the tough physical standards they have to uphold. And we met some of these guys. We chatted. I said, here's my mom, on and on. She immigrated from Eastern Europe. And this is the first time she's in Washington. She's loving it here. And I got to tell you, these guys were beasts. These guys were monsters. 6'4", 6'5", huge shoulders, huge chest. I mean, I looked at these guys. I'm like, the last thing I want to do is mess with these guys. Now, you put an army of these kind of guys around the president of the United States. Do you have any idea how intimidating that is to foreigners? Do you have any idea how intimidating that is to our enemies? And I was just thinking just the visual effects of what it did, for example, to my mother. My mother's reaction was literally, wow. These guys look formidable, almost invincible. You don't want to mess with these people. What kind of image are we going to give off? If you got people 5'1", 5'2", 5'3", 80, 90, 100 pounds, skinny, scrawny, many of them women. I mean, just psychologically, what does that tell the enemy? You think they're going to fear us? You think they're somehow going to look at us in awe? I think they're going to say, you know what? The Yanks have lost their minds. The Yanks don't know how the world works anymore. We can roll them because we've become feminized. 1-800-449-8255. Ron in Las Vegas, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, just ask the lady before you. She's right. It's all political. Just ask Miss Lynch if she'd like a do-over. Just ask her if she'd like to try it one more time.
Oh, sorry, Ron. You're talking about Jessica Lynch?
Yes. Ask her if she'd like a do-over and do it one more time. She'll tell you no. I'll tell you why. Because when I'm an ex-Marine Beret, and when you are on a patrol, and all of a sudden somebody starts laying down 800 to 1,000 rounds a minute, ground fire directed at you, you want somebody next to you that can pick up a 80-pound mortar base plate, put it down, lay the pipe on it, start throwing the mortar shells out there to try to knock this guy out. Because every time he fires that gun, he's killing somebody. And you need somebody with strength that can grab those ammo cans and then start breaching that machine gun, popping those hot barrels off. That takes somebody that's got strength. And if you don't have it, that person could very well cause you to lose your life. And then all of a sudden, the guns stop for a minute. The bugles start blowing. Well, you know what that means. It's a bayonet charge. Here it comes. Now tell me who you want next to you.
Ron, thank you for that call. I think you hit the nail right on the head. This call, what Ron just expressed to me, I've heard this hundreds of times, hundreds, literally hundreds, from veterans in the military who talk to me about this issue. And what the politicians in Washington don't know, because you look at Susan Collins or Caroline Baloney, you look at any of them, have they seen combat? Have they seen what this man saw? Do they feel the rounds coming down on them? Have they felt a bayonet charge? Have they had snipers shooting at them left, right, and center? No, they have no idea what it's like to be in a war. Instead, them, led by that con man in chief, Barack Obama, put rules of engagement on our troops that no military could win with. That's the problem. So you saddle them with women in the military. You saddle them with gays in the military. You saddle them with strict rules of engagement. Don't shoot back. Don't fire at civilian populated areas. Be careful. We're here to build bridges. We're here to win hearts and minds. We're not here to actually kill the enemy. And my friends, you have Americans coming home in body bags. And we no longer are able to win wars. I ask you this. When was the last time we won a major war? When was the last time we won a major war? I'll tell you the answer. 1945. Were there women in combat then? No. What else do I need to tell you? 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage.
Charlotte in Sacramento. Thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. I just wanted to give you a bit of perspective. I was a female firefighter for 18 years. I did work for the Department of Navy. And I started back in the day when there were no special tests for the women. I had to do exactly what the men did in order to get the position that I got as a firefighter. So, but I do agree with you. Along the years, I did work with many women that could not do the job. I will say I was one of them that could, and there were very few men that would work with me once they saw what I could do. On the flip side, I also worked with 110-pound men who could not pull me out of a burning building. So I just thought I would give you a little bit of perspective.
No, I've heard that. No, Charlotte, I've heard that. Charlotte, let me ask you this. How did you feel? I mean, I take it you must be very strong then physically, correct?
I used to be, yes. I was 5'9". I still am, but I weighed 240 pounds, and most people would guess my weight at about 160 pounds.
Wow. Wow. So I take it you were like muscular, you did a lot of weights?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did all.
Wow. Okay. Well, Charlotte, how did it make you feel? Somebody who obviously earned her entry into a firefighter, into the Navy. Somebody who legitimately earned their way. How did it make you feel that there were other women who were just basically being brought in through inferior tests, special tests, favoritism was showed to them? Did you feel that it diminished you? Did it diminish your accomplishments?
Sometimes, yes, I did feel that way. There were stations that I worked at that had lots of women. And at that point, then it's the flip side. If there's more women ratio to men, then you find that you have small women who can't do the job. And then you do work with some larger women that also can do the job. So, you know, it's one of those funny things, but I agree with you. I think that if women are going to work with a man, that they should not get special treatment and have a physical fitness test that is lower standards for anybody. I mean, if I was a fire chief and I had to hire, and I only had three positions to hire, I would take the top three, no matter what gender, no matter what color. If you came out in the top three, then
that's merit. No, you're completely right. If you earned it, you should have it. You deserve it. Charlotte, I got to let you go, but very quickly, I want to ask you this. Ballpark, I know you can't give me an exact figure. How many women did you see where you said, you know, percentage-wise, they really don't deserve to be here?
It was probably, I want to say, 60%. Easily.
How many men? How many men? Be very candid. How many men did you see where you said, they don't deserve to be here?
Well, you know, that's funny because, I mean, some of them, I will say about
quickly,
20% of the men.
20%? Okay. Charlotte, thank you for that call. My friends, you heard it right here on the Savage Nation. There are some men who are unqualified. There are a majority of women that aren't. We should have nothing but qualified people. We'll be right back after this break. Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The executive order on ethics I will sign shortly represents a clean break from business as usual. As of today, lobbyists will be subject to stricter limits than under any other administration in history. If you are a lobbyist entering my administration, you will not be able to work on matters you lobbied on or in the agencies you lobbied during the previous 2 years.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just want to thank you one last time for allowing me to fill in for you tonight. I cannot tell you what an honor and a joy it's been. Go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, for the absolute latest stories you cannot find anywhere else. Also, if you have not done so already, get a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. It is shooting up the charts. Number 2 on the Wall Street Journal's bestseller list. Recently, number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. It is a must-read, must-have book. And I think the genius of the book, and I think why it's selling well and is going to continue to sell well, is we just played a clip coming in of Obama signing an executive order where he claims that now his administration was going to be free of lobbyists, free of lobbyist influence. It was going to be the most ethical, transparent administration, apparently, in U.S. history. If you look at Michael's book, obviously the title is Trickle Down Tyranny. Crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. What has Obama been doing, especially through executive orders? He has been imposing the United Socialist States of America. He has been imposing in front of our eyes a soft Marxist dictatorship through decree, through the power and abuse of the executive power of the United States of America. And if you go to michaelsavage.com, literally the top story on the right-hand side, Obama relishes new dictatorial powers. And just like the old Soviet Union, every ruling regime has to have its Führer, has to have its leader, must have its media outlet, its official organ. For the Soviets, it was Pravda. For the liberal regime, it is the New York Times. And in that New York Times story that Obama basically exposed his inner secrets of what his administration was planning to do, this is the story that Michael Savage has linked to on his website. And there is the official organ of the Obama dictatorship, telling all of their liberal followers and apparatchiks that this is what the dear leader has planned. According to Obama and the liberal regime around him, his strategists now believe that the president is going to be engaged in the re-election campaign of his lifetime. But if he should win, they are expecting the Republicans to maintain their majority in the House and maybe even consolidate their power in the Senate and block Obama by controlling the House and the Senate. And so now they are planning what they're calling an end run to, quote, bypass Congress. And this strategy, according to this piece in the New York Times, which you can find on michaelsavage.com, was in fact developed by the dear leader himself at a strategy session last fall, reeling from the defeat of November 2010, reeling from his defeat in the midterm elections, having to deal now with what they call an obstructionist Republican majority in the House. The dear leader told his campaign strategists, we have to come up with a new slogan.
And that new slogan is, quote, "We can't wait." Supposedly, with all the problems confronting America, high unemployment, massive debt, rising inflation, the slow breaking and crumbling of the middle class, Obama claims he now needs extraordinary executive powers. He now needs to issue one executive order after another to bypass and circumvent Congress. Whether it's constitutional or not is irrelevant. The dear leader now said, it is time for us to move forward. By the aide's own admission, and you can read it in the story yourself, they said, quote, "The president wanted to push the envelope," unquote. In other words, it's time to flex our muscles. It's now time for us to accrue and centralize and usurp power that the Constitution does not give this president and this man to do. And so they began issuing one executive order after another. They began to unleash their EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. They began to push to curb greenhouse gas emissions, cap and trade through the back door. And then you had the President of the United States issue a direct executive order to essentially prevent illegal immigrants from being deported from this country. Amnesty through the back door. And on and on and on it went. The recess appointments. He named four people, including Richard Cordray, who was to be the head of his Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Essentially, the guy that was going to hammer American business and American corporations. That's what this was. He appointed him while Congress was still in session. How can you have a recess appointment when Congress is not in recess? He thumbed his nose at Congress, at the Republicans, at our system of separation of powers, and at the American people themselves. What you are now seeing is an emerging dictatorship in which power is no longer limited, it is no longer enumerated, and it is no longer respected. You now have power that is arbitrary, almost limitless, where the president feels he can do whatever he wants because he is president of the United States and he wants to win re-election and impose his socialist vision and socialist agenda on America. Out with the founding fathers, out with the Constitution, out with everything that this country has built. It is what Chavez has done in Venezuela. Step by step, he dismantled Venezuela's democracy. And he did it through executive decree, bullying the Supreme Court and eventually breaking and circumventing Venezuela's Congress. That's what you're seeing right now happening right in front of our eyes. And so now, according to that piece in the New York Times, corroborated by numerous strategists and White House aides, Obama is now, this is not a short-term political strategy, a shift in strategy. They are now openly saying, if we win re-election and the Republicans retain their majority in the House and even gain a majority in the Senate, we will not allow, quote, obstructionism to get in the way. The term they're using is this: the president will go unilateral. Unilateral. Meaning I do what I want, when I want, and to hell with Congress, and to hell with the Constitution, and to hell with the American people. And so now they are going to be planning more and more and more executive orders coming right down the pipeline. What I believe you are going to see, and the one that I fear the most, is I believe that he is going to try to ram through not just a backdoor amnesty by not deporting illegal immigrants, but he will try to pass a full-scale path to citizenship, full-scale amnesty. And you got a taste of what the Obama administration is going to try to do when his top consigliere, David Axelrod, was on CNN, where he said, hey, the president met with Republicans. The president met with Democrats. We wanted, quote, immigration reform, meaning amnesty. But it's those darn far right-wing Republicans. They're unleashing a reign of terror. Boys, roll clip 8.
I was in the room when he called together Republicans and Democrats who have been active for immigration reform in the past. To his credit, President Bush pushed for immigration reform. In the Senate, 11 members supported it. Those members and members in the House who have been supportive in the past were there along with Democrats. And the president said, I will work with you to get this done. Not one of those Republicans was willing to stand up and work with him to pass the bill. A lot of Republicans in Congress want to cooperate, know better, but they're in the thralls of this reign of terror from the far right.
What reign of terror? What is this guy talking about? The overwhelming majority of the American people want to secure our borders and don't want to grant and legitimize lawbreaking. We don't want to reward people who've broken the law and give them American citizenship. They haven't earned it. They don't have a right to it. In fact, they should be deported and sent back. But here's the big issue. And the real issue. Reign of terror. They're already hinting at possible suppression. They're already hinting at more executive orders and a crackdown to come. You are going to see a big push to grant amnesty to illegal immigrants if Obama wins a second term. His law that he passed just before January 1st, just before the new year, which allows for the indefinite detention of American citizens, I believe that will be expanded. I believe you will see even more crushing environmental regulations. I believe you will see even more nationalization, like the bailouts and the takeover of GM and Chrysler. And so my question to you is this. What executive orders do you fear will be imposed by an Obama administration should he win re-election in 2012? What will be coming down the pipeline? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. We've been talking about the gender wars. We've been talking about women in the Secret Service, women in the military. And now, what do you think the next executive orders Obama will impose upon America should he win re-election? I want to hear from you. Arturo in Maryland. Thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey there. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Arturo?
Doing good. I'm in the Guard, and I've been to Afghanistan with female MPs. It's the first time I've ever been around females. And actually, there's a lot of them that can actually carry their weight. And it's even better when they're actually behind a gun and covering you and not afraid to step out there in front of the bullets to help you out when you're in a bind.
Oh, really? So your experience with a lot of women in combat was a very good one, a very positive one.
Yes, it was. At first, because I'm an old-timer, I don't believe in being in the Army. But once I seen the MP ladies go to work and behind a Mark 19 set it up and do it themselves, or even a 50 cal set in head space and time faster than a guy soldier, I'm telling you, there's a lot of females like that out there in the Army.
So what you're saying is, like, for example, flexibility, being nimble, being able to shoot, precision, wielding a weapon, using a weapon, that you find female soldiers excel at that. They do a very good job of it.
Actually, I think they do a little bit better than guys because they have better ambidextrous.
I know what you're saying. You make a very, very good point, Arturo, and I want to thank you for that call, my friend. Greg in Tucson, Arizona. You're on the Savage Nation. Go, buddy.
Okay. What I think is going to happen,
the Gun Control Act that Clinton signed into law, there were some aspects of that that were not ratified, would make it illegal for people to reload their own ammunition. It's already signed into law, yet not ratified. I think an executive order will come down to pass on that. And then also, we've got the UN Small Arms Treaty that's pending that, you know, Hillary and everybody is supporting readily, that I think an executive order is going to come and says, okay, yeah, we're gonna ratify this, we're going to accept it, we're going to impose it, period.
Now, I know what it is, but for our listeners out there, Greg, the UN Small Arms Treaty would do what?
That would make it illegal, basically illegal for private citizens to own weapons.
Because it would be considered illegal under international law, correct?
Correct, yes.
Exactly. That's why it's such a dangerous treaty. That's why it's got to be defeated. What the Obama administration is now doing is they are using supranational institutions, transnational institutions like the United Nations, to circumvent the Constitution and to try to strip our Second Amendment rights. That's why they're going to back this UN Small Arms Treaty, and I believe through executive order, he's going to sign it if he should win re-election in November. What do you fear? I want to hear from you, Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Sherry in Las Vegas, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Well, it's nice to be on the show, but it's infuriating to find out that he would have the audacity to act like Hitler and take our guns away, that he would sign that in as an order the next time if he wins the election. That's the end of us. They'll come in just like, it'll be just like the Gestapo. They'll come over and make sure, search our houses, make sure that we follow the orders and get rid of any of our weapons. And, you know, my husband used to say, he's passed away, but he used to say that if every Jew had met a Nazi at the door with a gun, at least there'd be one less Nazi. And I mean,
Sherry, look, you're completely right, and it's why our founding fathers deliberately established the Second Amendment. It's why it's encoded in the Bill of Rights, because they understood, studying history, that republics to remain free have to have a free citizenry. And for citizens to be free, they have to be able to defend themselves. And that's why gun rights are so important. Look, let me just share this with all of you. My grandfather told me this. After World War II, when the Red Army swept into Eastern Europe, and he was then in what is today Croatia, then Yugoslavia, they came in and they went door to door. And what the first thing the communists did before they took away his land, before they took away his home, before they confiscated his banks and his money and his bank accounts and his cattle and his horse and his pigs and his cows, the first thing they did was they took his guns. Once they disarmed the citizenry, then the murder and the slaughter began. That's when the socialist revolution could be imposed. And so my grandfather, I mean, he wasn't born in America. I don't even think he knew about the Second Amendment. He always told me, you have to be able to have the right to bear arms to be able to protect yourself against the totalitarian state. And when you look at Obama, are you really, truly surprised, America? Really? This is an academic leftist. This is a man who despises this country. This is a man who apologizes for this country. This is a man who goes abroad bowing to Saudi kings and Japanese emperors and Chinese dictators. You don't think he would try to ratify a treaty with the UN that would destroy our sovereignty and basically say the Second Amendment is illegal and a violation of international law. What they do is this. They're going to say, well, no, we've now signed this agreement. It's now international law. You can no longer have the right to bear arms. It's international law. We have to have international obligations. And then they're going to pressure the courts. And they're going to appoint people on the courts to say, well, I'm sorry, but we have now international obligations. We have to follow international law. So that means we have to scale back the Second Amendment. So pretty soon you can't sell ammunition. Pretty soon you won't be able to sell rifles. You won't be able to sell guns. You won't be able to sell handguns. And then slowly but surely, they've disarmed the citizenry piece by piece by piece. Look at Obama. Look how smart he is politically. Everyone says he's stupid, he's a moron. Yes, he doesn't know how to run an economy. He doesn't know how to actually create prosperity. He doesn't know how to do anything of value. But in terms of being a political revolutionary, the man is brilliant. Look how he rammed Obamacare. Everybody told him, go on the economy. No, 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 no. Obamacare, now's my chance. Get the masses addicted to government medicine, to socialized medicine. Then massive stimulus, massive deficits. Break America's back. Force America to raise taxes. Push it to the edge of bankruptcy. Appeal to the Hispanic vote. Give them amnesty through the back door. Nationalize Chrysler. Nationalize GM. Nationalize the banks. Nationalize the insurance companies. Look what he's done with students. Don't pay your student loans. Don't worry about it. We'll give you one big bailout. We're going to lower your fees. We're going to make sure that you don't have to pay anymore your student loans. We're going to make sure that the government will pick up the cost for all of your student loans. Give them to them interest-free. Buy one vote. Buy another vote. Buy this constituency. Buy that constituency. And before you know it, now you think about this. Stand back and just think about this. If I told you objectively, you got a president of the United States who is now in his fourth year. Unemployment is over 8%. The growth is anemic. The recovery has stalled. Record deficits, $5 trillion in debt. Gas prices soaring. Food prices up. Chicken up. Beef up. Meat up. Bread up. Peanut butter up. The dollar is collapsing. He's lost not one but two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's destroying and dismantling and gutting our military. What do you think his chances of re-election are? You'd say, Jeff, none, zero. Zero. How could he possibly win? Nobody could win with these kind of numbers. And yet he's hovering near 50%. Why? Why is he hovering near 50%? Because he has bought the American people off. Food stamps, unemployment insurance, welfare, government handouts, government bailouts. Almost nobody in this society has not been given some kind of a bailout or handout, except the productive middle class. That's the only one. That's it. That's all. He's put together 50% of the country that now depend upon the Generalissimo, that now depend upon him. The dear leader. Now you think about that. Hitler came to power through elections. Chavez came to power through elections. People fall to demagogues. Countries fall to demagogues. That's all this guy's got. He's got no record. He's got no accomplishments. He's got no respect. But he's bought people's votes. And that's why he poses a mortal danger to this country. And if he wins re-election, look at him. He's telling us to our face. He's telling us to our face. I'm going to ram one executive order after another down your throat. You can give me a Republican Congress. I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn. And so my question to you is, what executive order do you fear that he will impose and pass against the will of the American people
should he get reelected. 1-800-449-8255. Sharon in Victorville, California, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. I just wanted to say that instead of asking, you know, what we're going to be fearing this man might do if he's reelected, we need to start figuring out how to get him out of office by voting him out, or we need to implore your listeners to contact their representatives and start rallying to get him brought before whomever he needs to answer to. I don't know if that's the Supreme Court or whomever, but that so that he can't continue to abuse his power, so that his maybe so that his executive orders powers can be limited. So there's got to be recourse for the American people so that he can't continue to abuse his power.
Sharon, you're right. In theory, there's plenty of recourse. There's the Supreme Court. There's Congress. There's the Republicans in Congress. But the problem is, and this is what happens when empires begin to die, when republics begin to die. Look at the lack of will. Look at the cowardice that's out there in this country. Where are the Republicans? This man has been trampling the Constitution for 3.5 years, and yet they remain silent. Let me just give you one other story. Okay, I could do this for 12 hours a day every day. It becomes depressing after a while. But look at what this man's doing with your money and to your country. There is now a story out today in the New York Post which shows that in order to hide the destructive effects of Obamacare, and in particular, there's a program called Medicare Advantage. It's essentially Medicare with some more market options. It's more upscale Medicare that some seniors are able to pay into. Obamacare is going to strip it and annul it and destroy it, eliminate it. And it's supposed to start kicking in this year. But what's this year? It's an election year. So now Obama realizes, and his cronies realize, we may lose 12 million seniors. They're going to be up in arms. They're now going to realize the full destructive effects of Obamacare. They've lost their Medicare advantage. They're going to have to go back to the traditional Medicare system, which they're going to gut $500 billion from. So instead of having seniors enraged, angry, frustrated, how can this program be taken away from us? 12 million of them. By the way, in Florida, in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, key swing states, literally, the president establishes a political slush fund. They take money from the Health and Human Services Department, over $8 billion, not million with an M, billion with a B, and they just transfer it into Medicare Advantage for 1 year, a 1 year in extension, just like this, willy-nilly, just made it up. So they rob, plunder Health and Human Services, transfer the money to keep Medicare Advantage going for one more year. Well, what happens next year? Obama's been reelected. Now these seniors have been shafted. This is not only immoral, it's not only unethical. I will stake my reputation on it. It is illegal. This is criminal. You can't do that. The way our system works is this. Money is allocated for certain specific purposes. Well, they're just taking the money for whatever they want to use it for. This is a crime. And he gets away with it without even one dissenting voice from the Republican Party. Not even one rises up to say, Mr. President, you are using the American taxpayers' money, $8 billion, to help the president get reelected. To lie to the American seniors, to lie to the American people, to essentially keep this bogus program going for one more year that you've eliminated. This program that you've eliminated. So you now have a phony program going on for one more year. This is a political slush fund. Paid for, it's not even, say what you want about Nixon, the committee to reelect the president when they broke into Watergate. That was money used from shadowy private sources. It was private people, shadowy people. We don't know who, but it was money coming. At least it wasn't on your dime. And it was a few million bucks. This is billions on your dollar, on your dime. That's what this man thinks of you. That's how this man governs. And you're going to trust him with another 4 years in office? My friends, we have a wannabe dictator in the White House, plain and simple. And it's about time the Tea Party movement and Middle America, the savage nation, said enough is enough. Either you give us a conservative party that will hold this man accountable and will block him at every turn, or my friends, we're going to get ourselves a new party. Because I don't need these kinds of Republicans. I don't need them. 1-800-449-8255. Do you believe that Obama will pass even more radical executive orders in his second term? And what kind of executive orders? I want to hear from you. What do you fear most? This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Kevin in Montana, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I got a feeling his next step's going to be takeover of the internet.
That's very interesting. Now, what makes you say that, Kevin?
Well, that's a way for him to control millions more of the sheeple.
Well, I mean, you know, Kevin, it's funny you should mention that, and I want to thank you for that call, buddy. In fact, the Democrats have been floating a bill, and the Obama administration has been floating a bill to censor the internet. And all of a sudden now, have you noticed, now they care about internet pornography. All of a sudden now they care about pornography. Suddenly, porn is on the top of their agenda now. Or incendiary, inflammatory speech. Now, all of a sudden, it's all this stuff on the internet. That's what led to Gabrielle Giffords, the congresswoman from Arizona, being shot. They're always trying to sort of trump up that somehow it's speech, it's unfiltered speech, it's uncensored speech, especially from the internet. No, no, that's dangerous now. Very dangerous to America. And so, no, I agree with you. I think after he goes after, he's going to go after the guns. Once he goes after our gun rights, he's then going to push for amnesty. And once he's taken care of amnesty, you say, well, you know what now? We got to stifle dissent. Let's go after the internet now. That's the next step, an executive order. No, no, there have to be limits on speech. No, no, and if you violate those limits, servers will be closed down. Internet outfits will be closed down. So they're going to start controlling political speech. That's what the left wants to do. They've done it in every other country. Why wouldn't they do it here? 1-800-449-8255. Matt, Pennsylvania, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Jeff. I think what we have to look forward to if Obama gets another 4 years is the continued federalization of private enterprise. And one industry, I don't think he's going to wait until he gets reelected to do so, and that's the oil industry. I think it has a lot to do with his policy with Israel and Iran. He wants Israel to attack Iran, but just on his time, because I think he's going to look at Iran's response, which will be to cut off the oil, shut the Strait of Hormuz, as a way of causing oil and gas prices to spike even worse. And then he's going to step in and he's going to release access to our strategic reserves, which isn't just petroleum. It's also refined gasoline. And that's going to cause a quantum shift, a drop in prices at the pump just before the election. And I think that...
Matt, you make a very interesting point, actually brilliant point, which was the earlier part, which is you have a war between Iran and Israel where you have the administration basically telling the Iranians, wink, 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 you and Israel go at it, and telling the Israelis, when I tell you to go, then you go. And then Iran's going to cut off their supply of oil to the world. It's going to drive up prices. Now, you're right. In the short term, he may go with the release the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. But I think in the long term, what he's going to say, and you've nailed it, he's going to say, hey, look, we're basically at the mercy of all of these foreign dictators and all of these foreign countries. And it's killing our economy. It's driving gas and oil through the roof. And so to protect the American people, to artificially keep prices low, we have to nationalize the oil industry. And that's exactly what Chavez did in Venezuela. It's what Argentina's president is doing right now. She's just nationalized a major oil company on the grounds that prices are too high. So all these have you noticed? Now the liberal media is going on about speculators, greedy capitalists, gouging Americans at the pump. And now Obama has sent out a commission. He now wants a commission and a board to regulate prices in the oil companies and to see if they're actually speculating or not. And now he's making his move, the first steps in his attempt to take over the oil industry. My friends, you heard it here on the Savage Nation first. Obama will nationalize oil if he's reelected. Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for Michael Savage. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. Savage.